upcoming events and how to prepare for them.
My friends, so far I've tried to alert you to the existence of the family dynasty that rules America behind the scenes. And I've briefly given you a broad outline of what they are up to, especially how they are deliberately bringing upon us a new severe depression. They are doing this just as they did in 1929 by cornering the nation's gold supply and destroying confidence in the dollar. And just as the depression of the 1930s was followed by World War II, the depression we now face will be followed by World War III. Having given you this essential background, now I want to get more specific about what to expect and when. And I want to suggest some of the things you can do to protect yourself. I want to make one thing as clear as I can, though. What I am about to do is simply to reveal information I've obtained from my confidential sources here and abroad, including those within the dynasty's empire. These are simply the plans of men and the emerging consequences of their actions. They are not like biblical prophecies, which cannot be changed. It is therefore my fervent personal hope and prayer that America will wake up before our free republic is utterly destroyed as we know it. I personally believe that even at this late hour, and the hour is now very late, if we, as a people, will turn away from the idiot tube and turn back to God, our beloved country can still be saved. It will be a trial by fire, but I believe it can still be done. The recording you are listening to was made on October 11, 1974. Before projecting into the future, I want to comment on one very relevant recent development, namely, the visit which a delegation of congressmen and newsmen made to Fort Knox to inspect the alleged gold there on September 23, 1974. This trip was completely unprecedented and was an historic first, except for one brief spur-of-the-moment visit by President Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1943. No one except for Federal Reserve and United States Treasury officials had ever been admitted to Fort Knox for such a purpose. This visit was arranged by the government specifically in an attempt to answer my charges that the nation's gold, all or most of it, had been transferred to special international banking interests and physically removed. I had made these charges not only on radio programs, in interviews, and in lectures, but also in congressional testimony before the Subcommittee on International Trade of the House Committee on Banking and Currency. It is a curious fact that, while the Fort Knox visit was supposed to answer my charges, I was not invited to come along. It was merely a junket full of congressmen and newspaper people having no expertise in gold. They were the only ones invited. Even so, their charade to fool the American people failed. A public expose of what happened at Fort Knox is now brewing, and the worldwide financial community that deals in gold already knows now that my charges were correct. America's gold supply has, in effect, been stolen, and the dollar is no longer backed up by anything at all. By late October or early November 1974, certain banks scattered around the world are scheduled to collapse, with obvious effects on public confidence. By early 1975, Europe will probably contain its inflation by backing its currencies once again with gold. The opposite will happen in the United States, though. After all, we don't even have any gold to back the dollar with now. Minting of coins in America will cease, and paper money will be issued in denominations less than a dollar for making change. And the so-called redback dollars, which have been mentioned by Treasury Secretary William Simon as a nifty idea for several months, will soon appear. On January 1, 1975, as the law now stands, American citizens will once again be allowed to own gold, for the first time since President Roosevelt confiscated it 40 years ago. In fact, under present law, President Ford has the option of granting this right of gold ownership to American citizens even earlier by sending his okay to Congress. But this probably won't happen. Indeed, even the January 1 date may be undone by legislation which is now being worked on in the United States Treasury Department. The real purpose of letting the public own gold is to help push prices up once the dynasty has cornered all but a few crumbs for itself, including silver, by the way, which tends to move upward in price along with gold. The problem is that the dynasty is presently having a bit more trouble than expected in snatching the major silver holdings of certain other Americans, and of course it wouldn't do to let prices go up before they are ready. Sometime early in 1975, possibly earlier, watch for the critical gold zoom signal. By this, I mean an open market gold price which stays over $180 an ounce for several weeks. This will mean that the world gold corner by the manipulators is complete, and they are ready to let gold prices zoom toward the goal of over $2,000 an ounce. This will signal the start of the worst of the inflation, unparalleled in the 20th century, to last about a year and a half. This will wipe out many people's earnings and life savings, and is what you must protect yourself against. The first quarter of 1975 will also see the beginnings of near mass starvation in America, as deepening unemployment and skyrocketing prices are made worse by cruel food shortages. I say cruel because they, like the rest of the dismal picture, are manipulated and deliberate, which is why my sources have enabled me to publicly warn of these coming shortages as early as June 1974. Massive shipments of American food abroad in recent years, including grains from our already depleted resources and reserves, have been engineered behind the scenes by dynasty interests to help set the stage for this. The dynasty is profitably feeding others, including America's avowed enemies, and letting us starve. As of now, President Ford has just canceled some massive grain shipments to Russia, a hopeful sign. But government figures explain that somehow Russia has already succeeded in buying far more from the United States than the limits she had agreed to in view of the tightness of American supplies. Will our leaders try to get back any of this extra food quietly obtained by Russia? food that Americans will soon need desperately? Perhaps the vigorous reaction of Secretary of State Henry Kissinger provided a clue. He has been quoted as saying, "It was probably a misunderstanding between bureaucracies." By mid-1975, according to statements made in the summer of 1974, America will be in the midst of political and economic chaos, perhaps better described as panic. These words were presented as warnings, supposedly, by David Rockefeller, chairman of the Mammoth Chase Manhattan Bank in New York City. At about the same time, Arthur Burns, head of the Federal Reserve System, issued statements warning that the consequences of continued unchecked inflation could well be a significant decline in economic and political freedom for the American people. This is the same Arthur Burns who admitted in a letter of June 28, 1974, published in the Congressional Record of July 18, 1974, that the assets of the Federal Reserve System no longer include gold, even though the published financial statements of the Federal Reserve do list gold as an asset. Of course, having said these things in the summer of 1974, people issuing such statements will be in a perfect position to impress the public with their wisdom, saying, "I told you so," if their predictions come true a year later. But beware. Jay Gould, after he had cornered the gold in 1869, said, and I quote here, "I regret very much the depression in financial circles, but I predicted it long ago. I was in no way instrumental in producing the panic." He lied. I might add that should Nelson Rockefeller be confirmed as Vice President by Congress in late 1974, my sources claim that he will be President by June 1975, Gerald Ford having been kicked out of office by that time. By the middle of 1976, the game plan is for the price of gold to reach the manipulator's goal of over $2,000 an ounce, and then it will be officially pegged at $2,000 an ounce after two or three intermediate jumps above the 1974 level of $42.22 per ounce. Once gold is officially pegged at the new price, $2,000 an ounce, inflation will end and deflation begin. Prices and interest rates will stabilize again. The stock market, reflecting this new phase, will at last bottom out at around 100 to 200 on the Dow and start back up, and bankruptcies will cease. In other words, America will begin its recovery from this Chinese-type inflation and severe depression, nothing like it has ever been experienced up until then. 1 to 2 years later, between mid-1977 and mid-1978, roughly, World War III will begin. The United States, its military secrets betrayed, and its economic strength sapped by the dynasty's greedy manipulations, will suffer a nuclear Pearl Harbor attack. The Panama Canal will provide the excuse for the war, in which America itself will be the prime battleground. According to my very reliable intelligence sources on this matter, the Republic of Guyana, next to Venezuela in South America, has already been turned into another Cuba. with atomic missiles aimed at the Gatun locks of the Panama Canal and at our cities here in the United States. Of course, our government, which dances to the tune called by the dynasty, refuses even to investigate seriously my charges on this score. The war will not be of the science fiction to our variety. It will last for some 13 months, and it will kill over half of America's people. The reduced and destitute population of America will, if all proceeds according to the dynasty's plan, be easy for them to then dominate completely. And if they can then engineer rebuilding their assets in America with foreign taxpayers' money, as they rebuilt their European interests with American money after World War II, their power will ultimately rise to a new, higher plateau. Conquest of the world will then be within sight. My friends, the events I have outlined, based on the dynasty's plans, are hardly a source of cheer. But at least, having some idea of what to expect and when, you can start preparing. And, my friends, I would waste no time in doing so. As I see it, there are three basic areas to take care of in your preparations. In order of priority, they are 1. Necessities, 2. Liquid assets, and 3. Savings and financial reserves. The relative amount you should devote to each area depends, however, on your own particular circumstances. Area 1. Necessities. Make sure above all else that you will have the necessities on hand that you will need to survive, first during the stagflation depression era, and then during the war to follow. You must consider at least 5 basic kinds of necessities: shelter, food, water, fuel, and medical supplies. Concerning shelter, be sure that your house is in good repair generally before the depression arrives. In particular, be sure that it is properly insulated. Looking ahead to the war, arrange if you can to have a retreat as far as possible from the target areas in America, where you can ride out the 13-month nuclear war. The best thing, of course, is to be in another country outside of the war zone, such as Europe or Canada. Failing that, which most Americans cannot do, the retreat should simply be as far as possible from the probable target areas. It should also be upwind of the nearest target areas, based on prevailing winds, so that any nuclear blast fallout will tend to drift away from the retreat instead of toward it. Major cities and distribution centers, military installations, and nuclear power plants should all be considered probable targets. You may be able to build your retreat from scratch with an underground fallout shelter, a well, air filters, and so forth. Or you may have relatives who live in a good area who would pool their resources with yours, preparing their basement to take care of all of you when the time comes. Or perhaps you have a camping vehicle that would serve as a temporary mobile retreat. Now, concerning food, the key word is storability. You want to stock up now on foods to eat later, when food becomes scarce. Most canned foods keep well for many months, so stock up now, because store shelves will soon have increasingly large and frequent empty spaces. For longer-term storage, periods of 5 to 10 years and more, dehydrated and freeze-dried foods are available from certain specialty stores which are specially packaged in large cans. Garden seeds, like food itself, will become scarcer, so get a supply now if you have space for a garden. Seeds for sprouting can provide you with a good source of fresh vegetable protein during the non-gardening season. You may wish to check with health food stores about some of these items. Turning to the matter of water, be sure you have a well, if possible, at your wartime retreat. At your home, the municipal water supply could become polluted or even cease. At some point during the severe economic breakdown due to the Chinese-type inflation depression, the easiest thing to do here is probably to revive the old rain barrel as a backup source of water. That is, collect the rainwater that runs off your roof in a barrel. Anytime you suspect there are germs in your water, boil the water. Then, I'm told, you can add up to 8 drops of liquid chlorine bleach, such as Clorox, per gallon of water to kill the germs. Next comes fuel. America now depends heavily on insecure sources such as Saudi Arabia for oil, from which we obtain gasoline, our fuel oil, diesel fuel, and much of our electric power. Our oil source can be distorted or disrupted at any time by a cold strike, a Mideast war, or another Arab oil embargo, which, by the way, could result from Arab unwillingness to sell its oil for worthless American dollars. Thus, you should reduce your vulnerability to interruption of the oil supply. If you can store them safely, build reserves of any fuels that are critical for you. If you have a furnace that uses fuel oil or natural gas, its blowers and controls are probably electric. So you should try to arrange safe standby means of operating in the event of power failure. If you have a fireplace, make sure that it is in a safe working order. In an emergency, it can provide heat and can be used for makeshift cooking. Lastly, don't forget about needed medical supplies. Be sure to have adequate supplies on hand of any special medications that are needed on a continuing or recurring basis, and have a good stock of assorted first aid supplies. Area 2, liquid assets, that is, cash on hand or readily available. Stay as liquid as you can. Don't tie up your funds in investments or property that you can't get your money back out of easily. Important. Collect all coins now in circulation, whether cladded copper or otherwise. Any coinage is worth more than paper, and you will be able to buy more with your coins during the Depression than with the redbacks and paper change that will be issued by early 1975. Keep your cash in a safe place, such as a safe deposit box or in private depositories. If you insist on depositing part of your funds in banks, do it in short-term certificates of deposit with interest rates that rise with inflation. Make these certificates of deposit as short-term as you possibly can. If you wish to obtain a mortgage, a bank loan, a loan on your life insurance, or other long-term loans at fixed interest rates, that's quite all right. Those are good ways to make cash available to you that is otherwise tied up. But if you do this, be sure to maintain an adequate cash reserve fund to cover your loan commitments just in case the hidden rulers should decide to change the rules in the middle of their game plan. Area 3, savings and financial reserves. You want these assets, left over after taking care of necessities and adequate ready cash, to rise with inflation, so that you will not be wiped out by the time the stagflation era ends. Here is a checklist of do's and don'ts with your savings during this period. Silver coins, gold coin collections, silver bars of any size. These are good long-term investments, since their value will increase to keep pace with inflation. They can be insured and may even be acceptable as loan collateral. Be sure to store them safely in bank or private depositories under correct or assumed names. One cautionary note here. The hidden rulers may seek to nationalize our gold and silver, just as they did with our gold in 1934. So pay cash and don't give your name to the seller. If you can store your gold and silver outside the United States, so much the better, since it won't be nationalized there, and you are more certain of getting your money out of it. Foreign currencies. European currencies will soon be backed by gold again and will be strong. But be careful of these unless you plan to travel abroad or use Europe for a retreat in World War III, since currency controls may be reimposed. Fire insurance. Increase your protection to keep up with inflation. Storable food and other basic commodities. Consider investing in these for barter or sale. Commodities that you would be able to use or work with are the safest here. Real estate. In view of the pending war, it is probably wisest in general to avoid buying real estate other than your own home and remote property for your retreat. Pensions and annuities, like other fixed incomes, will gradually lose their value. Stocks are in general not safe during this period, except for certain gold stocks, since the September visit to Fort Knox showed the world that the United States no longer has gold with which to depress gold market prices. Bonds are no good, even safe government bonds, because their interest and capital are payable in steadily deteriorating dollars. Savings accounts, savings and loan deposits, life insurance, and annuities all appreciate in value far too slowly to keep up with current inflation, and therefore should be examined thoroughly in each individual case by a competent financial advisor. My friends, this concludes my discussion of what lies ahead for America in the next few years, and my suggestions about what you can do to protect yourself individually, that is, yourself and your family. As for what we might all be able to accomplish working together, that's a different matter. That's beyond the scope of this talk. But I have to confess that there is where my real hopes lie. For only when America is once again made safe and free for all of us, will it truly be safe and free for any of us. Thank you, and God bless each and every one of you.